All right, everybody, it is time for another episode of the Crypto 101 podcast. But before we dive in to our awesome, awesome guest and conversation today, I want to remind you guys of two things. And the first one is that if you go to crypto101insider.com, you can join our private community. Here's where we have our model portfolio and all of our top picks. We also have Crypto 101 University, where we have hours and hours and hours of written and video content that explains blockchain and explains cryptocurrency in a very bite-sized and easy to understand way. And we have a weekly newsletter that goes out and quarterly state of crypto addresses that go out. There is just a ton of value packed into this every which way. So I want you guys first to go to crypto101insider.com today, if you haven't already. I also want to remind you guys that Pizza Mind and I recently just finished a book. It took 11 months of our lives to write, and we're calling it Crypto Revolution, Your Guide to the Future of Money. We walk you through this fascinating world of cryptocurrencies and blockchain, and it's part history book, it's part instructional guide, and it's going to really show you guys why cryptocurrencies are globally disruptive and how they're going to actually change in real life and in real terms the way that we buy and sell and even live. We include a bunch of how-tos on getting started with your first exchanges. We give you tips on how to safely buy and sell and store cryptocurrencies, as well as how do we evaluate potentially good cryptocurrencies. And the best part of the book is that we're giving it away for free. All you have to do is pay for shipping and handling. So go to cryptorevolution.com and pick up your copy today. All right, everybody, we are back with another guest for you today. A riveting interview we have prepared here for you with Jonas Simonovicius. And I apologize if I butchered that, but he is the CTO at an awesome blockchain company that is building the Waze, or like the Google Maps, of the blockchain and the cryptocurrency world. We're going to talk about what that means. But first, Jonas, welcome to the show.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. So when I was looking up and learning about Syntropy, you guys called it the Waze for the web. And Waze is like, for anybody that doesn't know, like this traffic routing service that you could plug in your address and you end up at this next location, right? So tell us about Syntropy. Like, what is it?
Sure. So what Syntropy does and aims to do is to make the internet better, to make the internet work in an optimized and secure fashion. And the reason we use this analogy as we Waze for the internet is because currently the internet is a little bit like a mess of cables where everyone needs to make sure on their own that it would work well for their users and applications. Whereas, much like in a driving, you don't know which road is congested. But once you have an application like Waze or Google Maps, it has like a bird's eye view and knows which paths you can take to avoid the congestion, to go off that highway through a local road. So what Syntropy does is it helps to avoid congestion in internet pathways and make sure you're always going through a non-congested and still working route. So that's why we use this analogy, because it helps your internet work in the most optimal way it can.
And what does this have to do with cryptocurrency?
So the reason we use blockchain technology to achieve that is because when internet was created, there was no blockchain and there was no way to make the internet open, but as well as performant and have this, knowledge of all the best routes, etc. But with the help of blockchain technologies, now it is possible to put, a person on every corner of that road to see which roads are congested and make them talk to each other in a decentralized fashion to let the user know which paths are better. And this way, using blockchain technology, now we can actually achieve something where you can have both optimal and decentralized internet. So blockchain technology allowed us to have this optimization and this view, as well as security, to make the internet work for the users and the applications. And it works on top of, you know, the current internet we have today.
That's really a fascinating solution that not a lot of people even realize is a problem. As someone who comes from an IT background like myself, I do understand it very well. There are even sometimes 40 different destinations that our web traffic will go to before it finally reaches our computer from the place that we're getting that information.
Yes, definitely. So the original internet protocol works in a quite a simple fashion. It only looks at the shortest amount of network hops it needs to make. It is not always the optimal path, and it also doesn't look if a path is congested. So basically, as I mentioned before, internet is much like a mess of cables, and then everyone is doing their own job to make it work for you. What we're doing is we're putting a layer on top of that, as you know, as I use an analogy, to put a person on every crossroad to look what is best, and then make that smart decision, talk to each other, so that using our layer of internet, now users get the best path chosen for them.
So I guess there's two sides of the equation here. There's somebody who wants to leverage CentropyNet to get a better browsing experience, I imagine, or better connective experience. And then there's kind of like the supplier side of somebody who's doing the routing and stuff. So for all the people who are listening, who are thinking, you know, hey, we're on the cutting edge of tech, we're excited, we want to support new projects. Like, where does the average person kind of fit into the puzzle here?
Yeah. So we think it will touch everyone because, as you said yourself, there's two pieces of a puzzle. One is our users. So it's the gamers, for example, is a great example. We just recently launched an integration with the popular games like Counter-Strike, as well as Minecraft. And it's a very simple use case. One person is hosting a Minecraft server and another people are playing in it. So without Centropy, you're just using internet you have. And sometimes it's not the best experience, especially if you're playing in different countries in the same room, you know, with your internet friends. What Centropy technology allows you to do is to have that optimized internet path between a gamer's machine and a gaming server. So you have both secure and optimized connection, and that relates to, you know, frames per second, lower latency, and, you know, sometimes not dying in that game. So that's really relatable. But also, as you said, there's this other side of enterprises and businesses. And anytime you use an application, something like Uber or Just Eat or whatever, you know, Slack or whatever application you might be using, those companies put billions of dollars to make that experience for you. They're building infrastructure, they're buying internet paths, which are reserved for that application, and so on. So they're putting a lot of money and effort into making that user experience work for you, and we make that job much easier for them, because I'm pretty sure this year was super big in internet outages. We experienced it ourselves. I remember the day we launched Centropy, I think Google went down for half a day. I couldn't access my email. Slack went down several times.
That.
We saw Cloudflare had problems. So every day there's those outages. And if there's any technology to help companies avoid that and make that user experience better for their users, it's only for the better. And if we talk about blockchain is great technology, but we need to remember it still also runs on internet. It runs on the same internet we're using. So much of blockchain is also using Cloudflare, Amazon, Google, the main infrastructure providers, which sometimes do encounter problems. So any technology which helps to mitigate those problems and make those connections more optimized, not break and make them more secure, that helps the whole blockchain ecosystem to perform better, to be more secure, and, you know, result into better block times, into you earning more money or whatever have you. So internet touches literally everyone's life and every day. So, you know, we need to build and use technologies to make it as better, best, and robust as possible.
Yeah, definitely. So how can the average consumer that's listening right now get involved? What do we need to do?
So there are several ways people can get involved. One is getting onto our Telegram. We have an amazing community where people are learning about internet technologies. What do we do? How does it work in general? I think it's a great source of knowledge as well. And you can support our project as well. And then very soon we will be launching our new tokenomics, and there will be a way to contribute your internet capacity or to run nodes, as it's, you know, very common in blockchain space, to basically sell that internet segment you have for the rest of the world to use. And we provide the technology for someone who needs it. They can utilize your computer or your server if that server or computer makes someone else's connection better. So there's ways to contribute to the new economy and the new technology, serving the technology of the new internet, as well as just get involved to our community, follow us on Twitter, and learn about the technology advancements we and everyone are building.
What kind of privacy is baked into this? The way you described it, it almost sounds like a decentralized VPN, but does it carry those same privacy and anonymous capabilities?
Great question. So every connection in Syntropy is encrypted by default. We think that's super important, and we believe that every packet sent over internet should be encrypted. The recent revelations of data leaks and all the things happening on the internet, we believe every packet should be encrypted. So when someone uses our technology, we create a end-to-end encrypted tunnel between one endpoint and another endpoint. It can be computer to server, computer to computer, a game to whatever. If you're using our technology, that connection is encrypted end-to-end. So we have a VPN encrypted encryption built in into every connection we make. But it's not a VPN in a sense like, you know, everyone's used to. This is a technology which can be used for between any machine-to-machine communication. Think IoT device, server, virtual machine, phone, computer. So we want people to build on our technology, not just use it. That's super important for us. We launched a huge builders program. We devoted at least $1 million to build on Syntropy, to build applications. And we believe people will build the new VPNs, the future of VPNs on Syntropy, the future of gaming applications on Syntropy, the future messaging apps on Syntropy. So, you know, we believe every application we know now can be built using Syntropy Internet, from the get-go. So that's why we encourage people to start building on our technology, get familiar. And we think that should be the new standard of, you know, getting every connection on the internet encrypted.
So let me ask you a question about limitations. So Aaron and I, you know, we when before he moved to Texas, we shared an office together, and at the office, we only had 20 megabytes of upstream capability. And it was something in the infrastructure, the fact that we couldn't get fiber into the office. And so at my house, I've got fiber. So I've got, 1,000 megabytes per second upload and download speed. So my question is, like, with a system like Syntropy, does the hardware that we're using limit us? Does the actual connection limit us, or could we scale beyond that?
Great question. So the example you gave, if you have your bottleneck, the limitation literally at your flat, we probably won't be able to help you because you need that internet connection. But what happens very often is the bottleneck is just around the corner, or in another city, or in another country. And we have tests and tested various, we actually tested more than 200,000 different internet routes. And very often in areas like Southeast Asia, in areas if you're sending data between Europe and US and so on, the internet path you're sending might be congested in one area, but just around the block, it's completely underutilized. And if using our technology, we can route that traffic to an underutilized link from the one which is already congested, we were able to increase the throughput of that connection, sometimes up to 200 times. So you're sending data, you're sending data from A to B, and the speed is 5 megabits a second. But you know, if you just send it around that congestion, it can easily be 200 megabits a second. That means just in that, at that one place, it was completely congested, and our technology automatically routes around that. So it's, the benefit is twofold. One is you get an increase in your throughput and possibly latency. And the other one is it makes the whole internet more efficient as a whole, because it draws traffic from the congested areas into the underutilized areas. It enables new economy models where links and nodes which are underutilized, which cannot sell their bandwidth or compute resources, now they can monetize their resources, which are now underutilized. And then the ones which are already overutilized, they can provide better experience for their existing users. So, you know, it's a really a win-win situation for everyone.
Yeah. And so a little bit about the token and how this token kind of functions. And a lot of people, like, you know, they're at home, they're listening, they're like, okay, we get it. It's smart. There's a ton of capability here and to push, you know, the digital age to the next level. But then they're like, well, there's cryptocurrency. And I thought I was watching something about crypto, and I'm still confused about how the token works. And so can you kind of give people a little bit of color, like why a cryptocurrency exists in this sort of framework?
Sure. And thanks for that question. So the main utility of a token is to provide economic security to the blockchain system we're having. So we will require a lot of nodes on the internet. We will require hundreds and tens of thousands of nodes to run so that we'd have those nodes where to route traffic through. The more nodes we have, the more internet segments we have, and we can route better. So to provide so many nodes, we need economic incentive. So the token is used as economic incentive to build up the system. And then there's an incentive pool to pay for the nodes so people can earn money while running the nodes and selling their infrastructure. And also, you know, the token and the token value will be used for those nodes to be reliable. So that's, you know, very popular in the current blockchain space, where the value is being used to secure the blockchain. And then the second part, the second utility of the token will be to actually run the blockchain. So we will have our blockchain system run, and then for the transactions, which will be making a connection between two endpoints, buying certain amount of traffic to relay through, it will be all automatic, but behind the scenes, it will make transactions and payments through the blockchain. And finally, we have a working software, even today, a Syntropy stack, where, you know, a token will be used for our products for non-decentralized systems, for software, today to be used. So the token utility will be, threefold. It's to use the products, it's to use the blockchain and make those connections and negotiate those paths. And then, but most importantly, is to provide economic security and stability to the node network that we'll be using to make those routes available for everyone.
Yeah, and that makes a ton of sense. And I think people at home are probably starting to get it. Like in the same way that, you know, in the early days with Bitcoin, you could turn on your computer and you could just let the power run and you earn Bitcoin. And of course, at the time, you know, Bitcoin was less than a dollar or a few bucks and you didn't really think much about it. And you know, the Syntropy token, right now it's small and there's, you know, as you said, we need lots of nodes to get this to scale. But I think people who are watching and listening right now have a great opportunity kind of to bootstrap a network that could literally change the way the internet works, which is fascinating. It's like that next logical step. And I think that, you know, a lot of people could kind of look and say, hey, you know, I've got, you know, spare cycles on my computer. I'll start running them and earning money for doing that. It's phenomenal.
Absolutely. And it's such a great feeling that blockchain technology allows people to provide technology for each other. So when internet was created, it wasn't a thing. And that's why it was made to be open and decentralized, but it couldn't have such features as, you know, the optimizations and everything. But now you can have a decentralized system with the help of blockchain and the tokenomics models, you know, the proof of work, proof of stake, and everything available on a market. And you can use that to, you know, make people enable their computer or their internet connection to be used by someone else, and in effect, make the whole internet better. So it's a beautiful system, only allowed by a blockchain technology.
Yeah, I love it. And Jonas, before we let you go, you know, there's a lot of new folks that are starting to get interested in the space. I got two questions for you. The first one is like, what, like right now, is really driving this bull market that we're in the middle of? From your vantage point, is it something about, you know, just technicals, you know, is just a correction up from this long 3-year bear market that we're coming out of? Is it maybe, you know, is there a narrative that you're really holding on to?
Yeah. So I truly believe the market cycles exist, and that's a fact, but they exist not just on their own. They need the reason to exist. So I truly believe the current influx of different blockchain technologies is driving this. So first of all, when Ethereum came around, no one thought of DeFi. No one thought what would happen and what use cases people will create. But now, even though it's still, you know, sometimes people say it's slow, it has problems, etc. But these are just details which will be figured out with just more advancement of technology and more programming and more testing. But fundamentally, there's a lot of things which were only available in a centralized fashion. Now they're available in a decentralized fashion, and people want that. And those technologies will get better and will enable huge opportunities. Much like that, there's the new blockchains. So again, when Ethereum started, people said, oh, smart contracts are slow, expensive, they can only do so much. But even then, they did a lot of, they created a lot of use cases. But now, look at Polkadot, you know, other blockchains, they enable code to run on 100,000 computers in a decentralized fashion. And you can run any code you write. So this will, you know, this will create new opportunities and new software applications, which now people don't even imagine they will exist. And I think this innovation is driving, you know, the new use cases is driving this current bull market, just like, again, in, you know, in the last time when, you know, the ICOs. Sure.
Yeah, so, you're talking about different potential use cases and things, and it's got my imagination running. I mean, low latency could make for an incredible VR experience that we've all been waiting for since the 80s. You could have pilots fly a plane all from the comfort of their living room, even with all these autonomous driving vehicles. You could have someone take over manually again from their house or a central office. There's so many things.
Absolutely. And it's great you pointed that out. So another reason why Syntropy is a must for the world of blockchain and the future of internet. So currently, if you want a drone in Africa to connect to a car in US, you really don't want to do it through some centralized software API, which can go down, it can turn off, etc. You need to facilitate that connection through blockchain. You know, once you have autonomous cars, autonomous devices, you really need a super reliable systems, which blockchains are. As long as that blockchain is running and that smart contract's there, it's gonna work. You know, I don't remember the last time Ethereum was down, you know? So if we really think of the future of IoT, autonomous cars, drones, and everything in between, it's no longer enough to have people make those connections and people make, you know, look after those connections and the systems. You really need a blockchain-based way to create a secure, optimized connection between any two machines or devices around the world. You need to make software autonomous. So now, if there is a smart contract to facilitate a connection, you can write software which makes its own mind when to create that connection, but it's going to be there when it needs it because it's going to be in a smart contract. So for the future of autonomous world and software talking to software, there really is currently only one way, is connections facilitated through blockchain.
Yeah, the great coordination machine, as a lot of people like to say about the blockchain. And Jonas, the last question I have for you, and I know you already mentioned Polkadot, which is a project that, you know, I'm very, very excited about. But is there any other projects that you're working closely with that you're really excited about, some future potential or maybe some collaborations you can share with us?
So we look at the space very carefully. We look at all of these technologies. I personally believe this year is going to be huge for trusted execution environments. So, you know, there's projects working in that space. I think interconnecting blockchains, platforms to create blockchains, you know, the Cosmos, Polkadot, the new blockchains, which are powerful, Cardano, Elrond, Solana is super fast. Everyone has their own different target market and use case, but they're all great technologies. So we're looking at space carefully in which technologies we can utilize best to create our solution. But I really do think this year, for me personally at least, is about the technology advancements in blockchain space, faster blockchains, more capable blockchains, interconnecting blockchains, trusted execution environments, infrastructure projects. So for me, it's about that as a technology person.
Fascinating. I love it. Mr. Jonas, thank you so much for joining us and for sharing kind of the future of internet routing and how people can get involved. We look forward to keeping tabs on everything going on over at Syntropy. And we're excited to have you back one day here in the near future with some more exciting announcements.
Sure. Thanks, guys, for having me. It was super great, Chad.
Take care.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.